For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent show, My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma with Joan Banks as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgot, theirs will still be hot. My friend Irma.
Reading an article that said the Earth rotates on its axis at a speed of over 1,000 miles an hour. At this rate of speed, you wonder what keeps the whole world from getting dizzy. Well, scientists explain that due to the law of gravity, this spinning has no effect on us at all. I've got news for you. These scientists have never met my friend Irma. Believe me, she spins like the law was repealed. But knowing all this, I still can't help loving her. I admit there are times when she's quite exasperating, like the time when... Well, the other night, for instance, I was reading the newspaper, and I said, Irma...
Yes, Jane?
Look at this headline. United States expects record bumper crop in 1948. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, I don't think so. What good are all those bumpers if we can't get cars?
Well, that's the way it is all day long. But there's one consolation. The days are getting shorter.
Jane.
Yes, sweetie.
It's been weeks now since you've seen Richard. Do you miss him?
Who?
Richard Rhinelander, the fellow you used to go with. Do you miss him?
Richard? Why, I never even think of him. He was just a chapter in my life.
Oh, Jane, you're not fooling me. I know you still love him.
Irma, that's ridiculous. I never give him a thought.
Well, then who's the other Richard?
Other Richard?
Yes, you know, the one you keep talking about in your sleep.
Irma, you're just imagining things. I tell you, the man isn't even on my mind.
Oh, where are you going, Jane?
I'm going to do some shopping over at Sears and Richard. I mean, Sears and Roebuck. Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Jane and Irma, my two little darlings. One a live wire, the other a little hay wire.
Why, Professor?
Excuse me, Jenny, a little joke to cheer me up.
Professor, I thought you seemed worried. Is something wrong?
Wrong? Well, it's a matter how you look at it, Jenny. I've just lost my job at the Gypsy Tea Room.
Oh, Professor, after 5 years.
That's right. 5 years of working like a horse, and this is the thanks I get.
5 years? Happy anniversary, Professor.
Professor, have you looked around for anything else?
Jenny, when a man gets along in years like the old professor, it isn't easy to find another job. The employers look at you like you was an old horse that should be turned out to pasture. And that I wouldn't like.
Oh, it might not be too bad. There will be probably other horses there to play with.
Irma.
Well, I mean...
I understand, Irma. You're only trying to make me forget my troubles.
Come in.
Hello, girl.
Oh, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Oh, so there you are, Professor.
Now, just a minute, Mrs. O'Reilly. You are screaming at a very sad man.
I don't care. I'll show
you. Now, wait a minute, Mrs. O'Reilly. What's happened to make you so upset?
The professor here left another one of his notes on my door. I'll read it to you. Come with me across the sea to some romantic port like Bangkok.
Well, that's beautiful.
That's what I thought. But wait until you hear the rest of it. Because when our ship lies in the bay, I'll need you for an anchor.
Professor, that's cruel.
All right, so I'll change it. To me, these creative thoughts flow. How do you like a thing like this? Come with me across the sea to some romantic port like Dallas.
Oh, now you're poetical.
Because when our ship lies in the bay, I'll need you for a ballast.
Professor, I'm losing patience with you. You miserable... Oh, why can't you be decent?
Oh, yes, Mrs. O'Reilly's such a nice woman.
Well, maybe you're right. Please forgive me, Mrs. O'Reilly. I'll never say mean things about you again.
I don't know if I can trust you.
Mrs. O'Reilly, believe me. I know I'm always insulting you, saying unflattering things to you, but underneath it all, I have a great affection for you. As a matter of fact, you remind me of someone who's very dear to me.
Why, Professor?
No, it's true, it's true. If you had a beard, you'd look just like my grandfather.
Look, Professor, how can you stand there fighting with Mrs. O'Reilly when you have such a terrible problem?
A terrible problem?
Yes, the poor professor has lost his job.
Oh, indeed. Well, Professor, I suppose that means you won't be able to pay your rent.
Yes, Mrs. O'Reilly, you have me completely at your mercy.
Well, there is a way you could make the room your permanent home without paying the rent.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, this is leap year.
Good. Go up on the roof and leap. Go up.
Wait a minute, you miserable old fiddle player, you.
Oh, gee, Irma, I'm worried about the professor being out of a job. Unemployment sometimes can make a person very unhappy.
Oh, yes, I know. Al gets moody sometimes.
Well, that's only because he's afraid it won't last. Come in.
Hello, Jane. Hiya, chicken.
Oh, hello, Al, honey. Gee, you look so happy.
And why not? Just got one of the greatest deals of my life.
What is it, Al, honey?
Well, it's for guys who don't like to get up and give ladies their seats in trolley cars. It's a specially shaped balloon that when you blow it up, it looks like a baby, so you got an excuse to sit there and hold it. How does it hit you, Jane?
Right below the belt.
What's the matter with you girls? I never seen you look so unhappy. You look like a pair of counterfeiters that's run out of paper.
Al, Professor Kropotkin lost his job.
Don't like that.
Shouldn't think you would.
Well, the field is getting overcrowded. We're getting too many applicants down there. The darned unemployment office is getting to be like a country club.
This may come as a big surprise to you, but there are many men, including the professor, who prefer to work.
Well, if we're dealing with neurotics. Jane, you mean you want me to help find a job for the professor?
I think he needs the help of all of us.
Does it have to be honest work?
Of course.
That's a specialized field these days. Let me think.
Well, all right. Let's all be silent and think.
Jane.
Yeah?
Al.
Yeah?
You won't be angry at me?
No, honey. Why should we be angry at you?
I've got an idea.
You have? Well, don't let it frighten you, honey. Out with it.
Well, you know how the professor always said he was tired of working for someone else and liked to own his own restaurant?
Yes.
Well, yesterday I noticed the store in the corner is empty, and I thought maybe we could help him go into business.
Irma, that's a wonderful thought.
Oh, do you really think so, Jane? Wait till I ride home and tell my mother. She'll be so proud.
Chicken, how did you come to think of it?
Oh, it just came to me unawares. You know, in my unconscious mind.
What an idea. The professor's own restaurant.
Well, now, wait a minute. Irma, it's a wonderful idea, but we've all got to pitch in and help. Let's see. I can take care of the books when I get through work at night.
We'll do my share, too, Jane. I can be the night manager. Yeah, when a deadbeat tries to get out without paying, I'll know from experience just how he'll go about it. What about you, Chicken?
I'll make the salads. Mr. Clyde at the office says I'm very good at mixing things up.
Come in.
It's me again, girls.
Mrs. O'Reilly, you're just in time. You like to cook, don't you?
I like nothing better.
Well, you're going to get your chance. We're all pitching in to help the professor open his own restaurant.
And you can be the head chef. You know what they call the matador.
That's maitre d', Irma. Well, Mrs. O'Reilly, are you with us?
Of course I am, to the last man. And I think the professor's the last man.
Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin, again. I just came down to borrow your newspaper, Jenny. I want to look at the want ads. Say, why are you all smiling at me like that?
Professor, we have wonderful news for you. How would you like to have a restaurant of your own?
A restaurant of my own?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you tormenting me so? You know, nothing is closer to my heart.
Well, you're going to have it. And it's Irma's idea. Go ahead, chicken. Tell him.
Well, it's very simple, Professor. We're all going to help. Al is going to see that everybody gets out without paying. And I'm going to mix up the books. And Mrs. O'Reilly's going to cook the deadbeats.
Hold it, chicken.
Professor, Irma is trying to tell you that we're all going to pitch in and help.
You mean you're saying that... The old professor don't know what to say. You're all such wonderful friends. I could kiss every one of you.
Oh, Professor.
On second thought, let's just shake hands.
Your winning smile is a Pepsodent smile. Again and again, people have found it true. The smile that wins is the Pepsodent smile.
Phyllis Pond, a lovely young ballerina whose home is Brookline, Massachusetts, had a song written about her called Little Girl with the Fascinating Smile. Phyllis danced to this song in a summer theater production. And though she's only 17, Phyllis's smile has won other honors, too. She was voted Teen Queen of Boston, Miss Television of New England, and already she's danced solo roles in several operas. The future looks bright for Phyllis Pond, but no brighter than her own Pepsodent smile. Phyllis told us...
Pepsodent's always been my choice. It gets teeth so bright, and it tastes good, too.
Like Phyllis Pond, people all over America agree. The smile that wins is the Pepsodent smile. In recent comparison tests, thousands of people preferred Pepsodent with Irium over the brands they'd been using at home. Yes, Pepsodent won by the overwhelming average of 3-1 for its cool, minty taste, for making breath cleaner and teeth brighter. Try a new Pepsodent toothpaste with Irium, and you will see the smile that wins is the Pepsodent smile.
You've never seen anyone as happy as Professor Kropotkin has been since the whole gang offered to help him get started with the restaurant. And you know something? You've never seen anyone happier than all of us because, well, there's something about giving that's better than getting. And so, while the professor is down at the real estate office seeing about the lease, we're sitting around trying to think up a good name for the restaurant. Any ideas, Al?
Well, I don't think this restaurant should cater only to the Swedes, nor the French, nor the Chinese. I think it should cater to all nationalities and all classes.
And I've got just the name.
What?
Hodgepodge Lodge.
Yes, or United Nations Coffee Pot. Oh, please, kids, let's get something sensible. Hey, what's wrong with Cafe Kropotkin?
Hey, that's pretty good. And I got just the slogan for the restaurant.
Slogan?
Uh-huh.
Oh, let's hear it, Al.
It goes like this. Of the food on your plate, do not be afraid. Everything we serve is thoroughly sprayed. What do you think of it?
I'd rather not.
Well, I have one.
What is it, chicken?
Our food is never touched by human hands. We handle everything ourselves.
Come in.
Kropotkin again. Hello, everybody.
Professor, you look upset. Did something go wrong?
Jenny, I've lost my chance to own my own restaurant.
Well, what happened? Couldn't you get the store?
All I have to do to get the lease is to guarantee them 6 months' rent in advance.
Professor, that's $1,200.
Let me see. 25 a week times 4 is 100. That'd be 12 months. I might be able to guarantee it on the strength of my income. But how do I know I'm going to be unemployed that long?
Have no fears. You've made the varsity. Oh, look, Professor, don't give up hope. I'm sure there are things we can do.
Well, I tried everything. I pleaded with the man. I begged on my knees. I cried like a baby. I even told him a lie. I said I was getting a nervous breakdown worrying about my wife and 18 children.
Well, what did he say?
He said I should take up a hobby. No. Now it's all over, my dream, and I want to thank you all for the nice gesture. I'll just have to take anything that comes along.
Oh, no, you don't, Professor. Come on. We're going over to the bank. Maybe we can get them to extend a loan.
A very sound idea, Jane. Some of my close business associates often visit banks for financial aid.
Well, this won't be quite the same, Al. We're going to the bank while it's still open. Don't give up hope, Professor. Irma, Al, and I will go over to the bank. Maybe by using the personal approach, they'll give us a loan. We'll see you later. And so, Mr. O'Connor, we thought your bank would loan Professor Kropotkin the money.
I see, Miss Stacy. Well, the business you contemplate going into seems quite sound. However, since the professor has no collateral, the loan can only be granted as a personal loan. And this type of loan requires co-signers.
Well, that's why we're here, Mr. O'Connor. Just tell me where to sign. I'll sign.
Very well. But first, there are a few routine questions. Number one, your occupation.
Is... government collector.
I see. Department of Internal Revenue?
No, Department of Unemployment. He collects $25 a week.
Chicken!
I'm afraid that you won't qualify, sir. How about you, Miss Stacy?
Why, of course, Mr. O'Connor, I'd be glad to be a co-signer.
Good. What is your occupation?
Private secretary.
Fine. A salary?
$70 a week.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been employed in your present position?
2 weeks.
I'm afraid that... How about you, miss?
Oh, I've had my job for 5 years.
Well, that's an admirable record. Your employer must think very highly of you.
Well, he thinks it would take 100 girls to replace me.
Oh, he does?
Yes, he says if I ever left his employment, he'd find 100 girls to take my place in a minute.
I see. And what is your salary?
$40 a week, plus deductions for the things I break around the office.
Folks, I'm afraid we cannot approve the loan unless we have a co-signer who is reliable and financially responsible. Miss Stacy, do you know anyone who might meet these requirements?
Jane, I have a thought.
Well, out with it, sweetie. I'll listen to anything.
Well, you could ask you-know-who, R-I-C-H-A-R-D... spells Richard.
Richard? Irma, I told you, Richard Rhinelander is an episode in my life that's all over. I'm sorry, Mr. O'Connor, but if that's the way you feel, that's the way you feel. Good day.
I'm sorry. Good day.
Now, wait a minute, Al and Irma. I don't want the two of you looking at me as though I were a criminal. I just can't go to Richard and ask for a favor. So I'll just... have to go back and tell the professor to forget about the restaurant. I'll see you at home.
Proud patootie. Let me see. Got to think of an angle. Let's drop into this pay station here, chicken.
Al, why are you tying that string around a nickel?
Gonna make a phone call. Because there's only one man who can help us.
Who, Al?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al, got a problem. Huh? You can't talk to me? You're in a hurry? Well, why? You're going to a meeting of the SPCA convention? Well, I didn't know you were a dog lover. Huh? It's a different organization? Mm-hmm. SPCA means Society of Pugs, Crooks, and Arsonists. Well, thanks anyway, and goodbye, noble friend. Well, chicken, Joe can't help us, so you and I better go back to your apartment.
Oh, all right, Al, but gosh, what are we going to do?
Don't know, chicken. This is a serious situation. You'll just have to put on your thinking cap.
Oh, Al, I've tried a dozen hats. Nothing helps. Come in.
Hello, Jamie. Well, what's the good word?
Oh, I'm afraid there isn't any good word, Professor. We were turned down.
You mean there's no one to turn to help us?
There's no one but Ruth. I mean, no, Professor, no one.
What more is there to be said? I think I'll take that job they offered me, digging ditches in the cemetery.
Oh, Professor, you're too old for that.
So what? If anything happens, I haven't got far to go. I'll see you later, Jamie.
No, Professor, wait. I just might know someone who can help us.
Now, Jamie, don't go back to Richard just on my account, please.
Professor, I couldn't think of a better reason. Now I'm going to the beauty parlor, and then I'll drop by his office.
But maybe you shouldn't, Jane.
I've been looking for a good excuse to talk to him. In a business way.
In a business way? And what if he tries to kiss you?
Well, that's my business. I mean, that's my business. I mean...
She's not here, Al.
Then we don't wait to ask her, Chicken. You and I go down to Richard's office. And not only do we fix things up for the professor, but we bring Jane and Richard back together.
Oh, I understand, Al. We kill them both with one stone.
Okay, Chicken. This is Richard's floor. His office is right down the hall. I'll wait here.
Oh, but, Al, I don't know what to say.
Well, there's nothing to it, Chicken. Just say, Jane is too proud to ask a favor, but the professor needs help because his job fell through and he wants to open up a business of his own. Got it, Chicken?
Oh, of course, Al. Word for word.
Good, Chicken. But just for the records, let's have it back.
All right. Jane needs help because she opened up the professor and fell through.
No! No, Chicken, look. The professor lost his job. Jane wants to back him, but she needs your help to co-sign the note at the bank.
Oh, I see. The professor needs help because Jane backed him into a sign.
Hold it! Look, you wait here. I'll talk to Richard myself. Think I'll work on the jealousy angle.
All right, Al. I'll wait.
And type copies of them, Miss Becker. Oh, Al.
Hiya, Rich, old man.
Come on into my office, Al. Well, I'm glad to see you, Al.
Thanks. Richard, I have news that I'm sure you will be interested in. It's about... Jane.
Jane? What's the trouble with Jane?
Fellas. She's got a million of them. Goes out every night. Enough to make a guy jealous, ain't it?
No, it isn't.
What? You mean you don't care?
Well, if she's so busy, there's no point in my calling her tonight as I intended.
Excuse
me, Al. What is it, Miss Becker? A Miss Jane Stacy is here to see me? Show her in. Al, Jane's coming in.
What a coincidence. I'm leaving. And I think through the back door. See you later.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Jane. I'm rather surprised to see you.
What do you mean?
I thought you'd be busy with all those dates I understand you've been having lately.
Dates?
Yes, I have my source of information, and if getting to see you means I have to compete in an elimination contest, I'm afraid that's more than I can undertake.
Well, of all the arrogant, presumptuous people, I should have known better than to come here. Goodbye.
Now, wait a minute, Jane. You misunderstood. Wait a minute. Hello? What's that? Miss Irma Peterson to see me. Oh, well. Send her in and stand by.
Hello, Richard.
Irma, do you know who was just here?
Yes, Al. And I know he left in a hurry because he went for a doctor.
A doctor?
Jane is sick. She's been in bed all week. She's desperately ill.
Desperately ill?
Yes, I know she wouldn't want me to tell you this, but... Well, I think it's a question of minutes. When people are in love, they should know what time it is.
What seems to be the matter with her?
Her back. Killing her. It's a rare tropical disease. I think it's called bacteria.
Bacteria? Oh, yes, yes, I've heard of that. A friend of mine had it in the front. It was called frontieria.
Yes, it's a spreading disease. Richard, are you concerned?
I'm very much concerned.
Oh, I knew you would be.
Anytime you and Al are at liberty, it's time for the whole city to be concerned.
What are you talking about, Richard?
Jane was just here.
She was? Oh, well, being sick like that with a high fever, she's probably out of her mind. You know what they call hilarious.
Yeah. And a lot of normal people have it. Your arm, please, Irma.
Don't feel badly about it, Janie. You tried your best and the old professor appreciates it. I'll get along somehow.
I can't understand that, Richard. He treated me horribly. Come in. Irma. Al. Richard Rhinelander. What are you doing here?
Jane, Well, it's this way.
Yes, Richard?
Al tells me that you've been going out every night with a different fellow. And Irma tells me that simultaneously you've been sick in bed. I couldn't let anyone so talented get away from me.
Oh, Richard. I knew you wouldn't let me down. I'm sorry I'm stupid. I should have put two and two together.
Yes, Jane, but not if the two and two are Al and Irma. Because those two never add up to anything but trouble.
Richard, did Irma tell you anything about the professor's predicament?
I couldn't shut her up. And I'm happy to say I've taken care of everything. The professor will have his restaurant.
Oh, Richard. Well, I just don't know how to thank you.
How about this way?
Gee, Al, isn't that sweet? Look how our toes are curling up.
Yeah, Chicken, does it give you any ideas?
Yes, Al, let's buy skis this winter.
And you know something? It may be tough sledding, but there's nothing that can stop me from loving my friend Irma.
Your winning smile is a Pepsodent smile. Again and again, people have found the smile that wins is the Pepsodent smile. That's borne out by the vote of thousands who tried new Pepsodent toothpaste with Irium in a recent nationwide test. These people were given plain, unlabeled tubes of Pepsodent and were asked to compare it with the brands they were using at home. When their votes came in, Pepsodent won by the overwhelming average of 3-1. These people say new Pepsodent tastes better, makes their breath cleaner, and their teeth brighter than any other toothpaste they tried. Remember, that's not just our opinion. That's what people say. They say it 3-1. They've seen Pepsodent with Irium remove the film that makes teeth look dull, uncover new brightness in their smiles. Try it, and you will see the smile that wins is the Pepsodent smile. My Friend Irma is produced and directed by Cy Howard. Mark Levy writes the script with Stanley Adams and Roland McLean, and it's brought to you by Pepsodent Toothpaste with Irium, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company. This is Wendell Niles speaking, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.